What's going on, guys? Welcome to another episode of Healthspan Academy. I am your host, Craig Sheerhart, and joining me today is my original gangster, Kyle Freiberger, who was part of the hosting process early on and went on to other projects since then. So we're going to get caught up with Kyle on what he's been up to between now and then, and some of his habits, his coaching protocols, new sort of health habits he's developed over the last 12 months, some of the people he's worked with as well. We're also going to run through some of the highlights of the last 12 months. We'll talk about some of the commonalities we saw and some of the experts we chatted with in terms of like mental health and physical health and longevity and everything in between. And then we'll kind of talk through some of our own habits and what we've learned this past year and what we're trying to implement to make our lives better and our prospect for health span continually improving. Kyle, thanks for joining me, man.
Yeah, what's up, man? It's good to be back. Yeah, the original OGs.
Yeah, great to see you, man. So let's start with a quick summary of what the last like 8 months or so have been like since you were hosting. The key lessons and habits and coaching tidbits. What's been your main focus over the last 8 months?
Well, man, first off, I appreciate that you still got this podcast running and growing, and I love to see that.
Thanks, man.
Love all the good that you've done so far, and yeah.
Well, I hope you appreciate that getting off the ground. It wouldn't happen without you. So it's started strong, and I've just kind of tried to keep the momentum going a little bit.
Yeah, that's it. And you and I have had monthly meetings that we just keep in touch, and we keep seeing what kind of value we can add to each other, the lessons that we're learning, just kind of like we're talking about now. This is basically our monthly meeting, right?
So yeah, exactly.
The last 8 months, 12 months have been, it sounds almost superficial, but it's been the most life-changing year of for me personally, physically, mentally, my relationships, the people with me, the people in my life.
Very cool.
And it really, I don't know, I thought a lot about some of these questions or even just what I was going to talk about in this episode. And it really just comes down to one key lesson that I think I learned for my mental health. Mm-hmm. I ended up listening to a podcast on becoming a life coach. And cool. I thought, oh, well, I'll just kind of was listening to the guy that was running the podcast. He's the mindset mentor. And he just got me thinking about,
Rob Dial.
Yeah. Rob Dial.
Rob Dial. Right.
Yeah. So I really do like his podcast, and he gets you thinking, and they're short episodes. And it just got me thinking like, I do a lot of research, and I do a lot of, reading for my personal gain, like my health, my longevity, stuff you and I've talked about. And it got me thinking, like, he asked you the question. He's like, well, if you know these things, do you think there's anybody in the world that doesn't know these things? And it's like, well, of course. It's like, well, you owe it to the world to spread this this knowledge, because not everybody has the time to read. Not everybody has the time to dissect these things. Not everybody has the mental capacity, right? Yeah.
True enough.
And so I started thinking, oh, okay. So I ended up signing up to a course and spending quite a bit of money. And my thought was just, I'm just going to do this and become a better human being, hopefully.
Yeah.
And without going too much down a rabbit hole, I ended up having one of the most profound lessons within the first week of this course. And in front of about 100 people, just to kind of set the stage, I was kind of, we have this, it was a call where we do a scripted like practice session where you're going through like a brand new client, and you're talking with them, and you're building rapport and connection and creating like the space of vulnerability for them. And so I volunteered because this is the type of guy that I am. I always put myself in the most uncomfortable situations because that's where growth happens.
Yeah.
So again, I'll get to the end of my point here, but I jumped into the fire, knew nothing. I didn't even know what the call was about really. And in front of like 100 people, or was, I think even more than 100 people, I basically got told like, Kyle, you're not connecting. Kyle, you're not like being vulnerable. You're not. And I'm like, shit, like I've been told this before. I keep thinking that I'm getting better at it. So that just sparked this whole like, okay, Kyle, just let go of all your judgments, everything you think you know, and open up your mind. Yeah. And I just listened and I started soaking things up, and I realized that creating a space of vulnerability for people and learning to, quiet up, you know, shut up for lack of a better word, yeah, and ask questions, you learn so much more. Dropping your judgments, accepting things for as they are, and not as you want them to be.
Yeah.
And that just mentally has helped me so much, deal with my identity and who I am, and led me down this coaching career. And yeah, so that's been my biggest lesson.
That's sweet, man. Cool. And then in terms of your health, I know, there's the broad spectrum of stuff you've been focusing on, sleep. I think you've done a lot of, habit building around your gut health and that stuff. What's, mm-hmm, give a snapshot of what that's looked like recently.
Yeah, that's one I do like to talk about a lot. Mostly because it never goes the way that you think it goes. And I'm gonna, you know, I've dealt with a lot of professionals when it comes to my gut. Mm-hmm. So the number one thing is everybody's got issues. Yeah. If you think you don't, you do.
Yeah.
You know, even after 2 years, I still, like, you know, it's always going to be an evolving process because of the foods that we eat.
Yeah.
It's kind of like your nutrition, your, you know, if you go get your blood work done and you look at your vitamin deficiencies, like, it depends on how much sunshine you're getting and,
yeah,
you know, how much you're getting in your diet. So the gut's ever evolving, and you and I, we have a personal, friend, Laura Brown, who I deal with pretty consistently now.
Yeah.
She's wrote a book on gut health and, highly recommend it. But basically, if you were to start on one area of your life, as far as, longevity and health, gut is where everything starts. And through the last couple of years of gut sensitivity testing, like your microbiome, food sensitivity testing, that's what I meant. Your microbiome, like, mm-hmm, learning about bacteria, trying to balance that with probiotics and supplements and stuff, cutting out certain foods, you know, understanding that for the most part, you just have to cut out foods for a certain length of time until your gut resets.
Yeah.
And then most foods you can actually reintroduce, and it depends on your body and your sensitivities and stuff, but
just give you the data, and you don't really know how the food's impacting you till you cut it out. And that's why it's so powerful.
Yeah. And, you know, and again, to kind of not rabbit hole down these topics as you and I normally do, understanding, like, just learning about the gut and trusting the process and understanding that it's not going to happen overnight, because a lot of these books that I've read, it just sounds like, oh, you know, well, 6 months I'll be all fixed up. But
yeah.
I comfortably can say in the last 2 years, you know, I'm a big biohacker. I wear the Oura Ring. I wear the Whoop. I'm very much learning about HRV and recovery and stress and all these, mm-hmm, different metrics. And I can comfortably say fixing my gut has now, like, increased my ability to sleep properly by, yeah, I would say it's about like 7 to 10% according to my Oura Ring.
Nice.
I get quite a bit higher ratings, like, on a consistent basis. I get much less wake ups at nighttime, much less bloating and cramping.
Yeah.
I basically never pass gas. I do, but not like, you know, not like I used to. Yeah.
You're not clearing the room like you used to.
Not clearing the room like I used to. And, you know, and I like to speak about this because honestly, if you pass gas, if it's, you know, if it, you clear the room, there are actually there's actually a couple of things that you might not know that can really change your life really quickly. Yeah. And
it's usually a sign something's going on.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And that's just it. Like, go
and
to
those are the things that, like, we obviously can't do blood work on us regularly, but what I'm most curious to hear from you is, what are the variables that you can measure day to day? You talk about sleep recovery, HRV, your, yeah, sleep quality. Are those the things that tell you that you're on the right track with your gut on a regular basis?
Yeah. And the gas, the cramping, yeah, the bloating. Enough. And then the one other thing that I don't know why it just took me, it did take me a while to really clue into this. Cause I know, you know, Dr. Brown would always ask me, like, you know, where do you feel hot? Cause I'd always be like, oh, I'm really hot at nighttime. She's like, well, where? Yeah. And I'd never remember, but then I started actually feeling like my gut and stuff. And I would, yeah, actually feel hot on like one side of my gut. That's and wild. I would tell her, and she literally, because I could, like, I actually realized that, she was able to like help me, and she knew exactly what the problem was, or she had a really good idea.
Yeah.
So it's just, again, listening to your body. It's so powerful, but again, just to kind of finish out this part of the conversation, it's like most people, we have so many things that limit our ability to listen to our body, because if you feel like crap all the time, you're just going to think that's the norm.
Yeah.
But if you start to feel better, that's the new norm. And that's kind of what I've learned over time.
Yeah. That's amazing. So I want to go through the first kind of quarter of the year, because you were around for our first, I think around 15 guests or so. So talk through, what were your favorite conversations and highlights for you kind of in the earlier interviews?
Yeah. I think the idea that working together with all of these different professionals, and a lot of people that, you know, we did interviews with, they're very motivated to work with other professionals.
Yeah.
And I think this holistic view, and when I say holistic, I mean like a bunch of different professionals working together. Mm-hmm.
Teamwork makes the dream work.
It's so true, you know, and I, you know, again, I thought about one of the things I was going to talk about, or might like to talk about in this episode, is just like one of my biggest lessons, which is the idea of community. Mm-hmm. And so if I could say that now I kind of understand why that was so impactful for me, listen to all these different views and how people wanted to work together. You know, we talked to chiropractors, to naturopaths, to,
pro coaches.
Yeah.
Yeah. Physiotherapists, biohackers, and the idea is, everything in between.
The idea is that like people can get really good at one thing, but to try and get good at everything is kind of a ridiculous philosophy, because we only have so much capacity as humans and we only have so much time.
It's true.
So the idea of a community where you can be open and vulnerable and actually, you know, and you're not in a scarcity mindset. The abundance mindset is that there's enough for everybody. We're not worried about, oh, if I teach you all these things, you're going to go and be more successful than me. Like, we throw all that out the window and we all work together. I just need to know how to, you know, I fly airplanes and I do life coaching, right? And I like stick to those two things.
Yeah.
And then for like my finances, I got a guy.
Yeah.
It's like the Seinfeld episode, right? You got a guy for that?
Yeah. So true. That's the world we're living in. It's a specialist world for sure. I love that.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. So like you kind of alluded to a broad spectrum of topics, and I kind of want to paint the brush over some of those topics, because there were some commonalities, right? And we did interview some like world-class basic scientists and leaders and like entrepreneurs and, you know, authors. And like, so, and honestly, the guest list blew my expectations out the door of what
possible, man.
Yeah, this first year. Two of my top five dream people were on the show, Vellner and K-Star, which was pretty cool. And it was a great conversation. So I want to talk about some of the commonalities that was across the board, you know, because I think like taking one piece from one expert's one thing, but when you start to see common threads in what people are doing in their own kind of personal management and how they're helping their clients, that's kind of, I think, where it's going to be most beneficial to like a broad spectrum of people, right?
Yeah, man.
And some of the commonalities that we saw, like just about everybody doing some kind of piece of meditation. So I feel like the stigma attached to that was there for years, and like you kind of woo-woo if you're doing meditation, that seems to be gone. I think that's still like, there's some people probably in that camp, but there's so much research backing it now. And the fact that just about every guest that we talked to this year is practicing some version of meditation or awareness or breath work. I think that's, if you really want to nail down your health and longevity, that has to be there in some capacity. And maybe it's not something you're doing for 20 minutes a day, every day, but on some kind of regular basis, just to tune into your emotional fitness, which actually I just chatted about with Carl Paoli on that episode, which was pretty eye-opening. I don't know how much you know about his stuff, but he's gone pretty deep into emotional fitness and how do we develop that and its importance. Because if your mental foundation isn't there, nothing else is going to be at full capacity. So I think that's a huge, huge, huge piece. And I think self-prioritization was another big thing. And as people, we tend to like fall into that trap of I need to help everyone else first. And you know, your own kind of priorities tend to get pushed to the side. As a coach or as a parent or like as someone that just is really empathetic and feels other people's pain, it can be a trap because you can't help everyone, especially when you're not helping yourself. So I think that was another common thread that I saw. And it was refreshing seeing like professional women take that stance who are moms, because I think that's like a demographic. As soon as you're a mom, it's like your kids are like first on list and everything. But if you're not at your best, your kids aren't getting the best they can either. So that was a cool thing. And then recovery and sleep and rehab. And we're learning so much more about NAD and biohacking and stuff like that. Those were kind of the takeaways for me across the board with our guests and stuff like that. What are the key changes you made in your own personal health in sort of the scope of longevity, stuff you're kind of experimenting with still, or stuff that you've kind of like made rock solid? What have been the most impactful things beyond just the gut health habits?
You know, before I even, I think it kind of ties into this question, but I want to jump back to like this, you know, the idea of meditation, the idea of self-care before everything else. Sure. Cause I think we hear it a lot. Like, oh, you gotta put your own oxygen mask on first. You gotta take care of yourself first. You can't pour from an empty cup.
Yeah.
And I had one of my clients speak up in our group program the other day, and he told us a real quick story. And I think it literally perfectly outlines the concept of taking care of yourself first.
Yeah.
So he's been working on himself, personal development, been in our program, putting his oxygen mask on, doing all these things. And he was out with his friends on the weekend, and he came out of the restaurant that they were at, and his car was towed. And he lives in Lima, Peru. So right away I'm thinking, wow, like that's gotta be expensive. Like that's gotta be hard.
Yeah.
And he says, you know, initially I wanted to be frustrated. I wanted to be mad. Old me would have thrown a temper tantrum. He says, but I remembered everything, you know, in that moment, I remembered everything that I've been working on. And I said, you know what? What can I control? And he said, well, I can't control anything right now. So he's like, what am I going to do? Well, tomorrow I'll deal with it tomorrow. Like I can't do anything tonight. It's I'll go tomorrow. I'll pay the fee. It is what it is. I can't change it.
Yeah.
And because he had that attitude, him and his friends went, I guess they went on to another place or a bar or whatever. And his friends were like, why aren't you freaking out? And he's like, well, you know what? I've been doing this, you know, this coaching stuff and working on my mindset. And I realized that I can only focus on the things I can control. And his buddies were like, well, I'd be freaking out. Like, tell us more about this this mindset stuff.
Yeah.
And so now he took this situation where he could have made it all about him. He could have been upset. He could have been stressed. He could have, and his friends probably would have been like, oh, you know, this sucks having, you know, him around because he's stressed and upset.
Yeah.
But instead, the whole night he said for the first time with all of his friends, he got to help them understand what he's been learning around mindset. And he was able to influence them positively.
That's amazing.
And that's the idea of taking care of yourself first.
Yeah, for sure.
Right.
So it's one of those things too. Like the problem's going to be there regardless. If you just add a mental worry to it, that's two problems, right? You're just like magnifying the problem rather than just controlling what you control. It's easier said than done to just worry about what you can control. Obviously there's like emotional response, and that's a normal part of being a human. But if you let it control your actions and like totally derail you and take away from other opportunities, then you're kind of missing the point, right? You like
100%.
Yeah. And control what you can control, and the rest kind of takes care of itself.
And then that ties into the meditation piece. You know, you talked about it getting a bad stigma. It's the idea is that we're not our emotions. We're not our thoughts.
Right.
Like if you close your eyes and you try to meditate, it's very frustrating because there's so many thoughts.
Yeah.
And it's not that you're going to be perfect at it. It's that you're practicing, realizing that you're thinking a bunch, stopping, and then just bringing yourself back to, hey, I'm here. I'm alive. I'm safe. You know, there's all these amazing feelings and smells and sounds around me.
Yeah.
And it just brings you back to the present moment. It's that practice that when your car gets towed, you know, maybe it'll help you bring yourself back to, hey, I can't control these things. I'm not my emotions. So man, it's awesome.
Super cool.
Okay. Back to my question. You're asking me about,
The next on the list, like on the habits, I've got a list of stuff that I'm kind of been dabbling with a little bit. I'm curious to hear what your sort of experimental habits look like? What is the stuff that you're kind of newer to kind of developing at this point?
Yeah. So, I've been putting a lot of work into the coaching, the mindset, those have been the most revolutionary, because everything mentally affects you physically. Mm-hmm. Right. So, you know, the idea is if you're thinking controls your decisions and your thinking controls your feelings. And if you change your thinking, you can change, you know, your decisions and your feelings, and mm-hmm. all of that will directly, affect your body. Outside of that, I would say, I'm mostly dealing with kind of the same things. I do a lot more resistant workouts. I use the Katsu bands. I don't know if you've heard of those from Ben Greenfield. So I have those. Again, I fly airplanes as well for a living and sit. So those Katsu bands are pretty cool. They're basically, you know, they're not defined as blood flow restriction. They're defined as something else, but they basically, you know, it's a biohack that you're causing a stress on your muscle the same as you would lifting hundreds of pounds, mm-hmm. but you're not lifting hundreds of pounds. So, you know, my whole mission in life's always been to, you know, golf when I'm 100 and I'm thinking, okay, mobility, flexibility, joint health. So lots of traction, got the inversion table behind me. So it's kind of been just like, I found a good groove and I'm working more on my mindset than I would say on my health. But
sweet.
Yeah. I don't know if anything else comes to mind, but yeah. Tell me what yours, man.
Just to comment on that. I think it's awesome. Like the blood flow restriction, especially from like, I think it was kind of developed if we think like the elderly, right? If they're like less joint kind of stress, for them to be able to like build muscle without putting a huge load on the joints. So I think it's an amazing accessory piece. And I think as long as you're pairing that enough with like traditional strength bearing, cause like, the bones still need load to be healthy, right?
Exactly.
But I think it's a good complementary piece because you're not constantly straining or like pounding away at the bones. It's a great complementary piece to doing just kind of your traditional powerlifting, weightlifting kind of movements. So I love that. And that's
if I could say things to
put in the pot at some point, but I'm still haven't gotten into blood flow restricted movements yet. But
yeah. If I could say there's anything that I do, I just do a bunch of things. I try not to do the same things.
Yeah.
I try not to be habitual with like one specific movement. Like I come to Royal City, CrossFit there. I do that. I'll do kickboxing. I do my own stuff at home, resistance bands, kettlebells, you know, just keep mixing it up. And that's not boring either. Right.
Yeah. True. That's awesome. Sweet. So my stuff, I think one of my most eye-opening exercise episodes was with Dr. Leilani Van Coten, she was originally an MD and then a psychotherapist. So she went through kind of the whole traditional Western medicine and then went the complete opposite path and got like really involved with resonance audio therapy. So that kind of like, and I'd been somewhat familiar with it, but I never really dabbled with it. It kind of like, you know, soothing music or whatever, it always kind of feels good, but there's like a huge abundance of research in that area now on specific sounds and frequencies and actually how they've been linked to healing. And she actually linked it to like curing some infectious disease like AIDS and chronic disease. They had a case where it improved diabetes and stuff like that. So it's, to me, that was wild. So that's kind of where my newest kind of focus has been. I've kind of like revisited the audio therapy. So
you read Biology of Belief, right? Like that was a big eye opener for you, right?
Yeah. So that, even just like my conversations with Monique Mueller, who's, she actually recommended the book and, she's big into, you know, the quantum physics level of energy kind of healing and stuff like that. And then, and I read a bunch of books on that too. I read The Big Picture by Sean Carroll, which is, rooted in quantum physics, and he's like he tackles all of kind of the fundamental questions like, is there a God, what's the purpose of life, all these like philosophical things, and he describes them using science, and it's just like my mind was spinning the entire, so it's actually my favorite book that I've probably ever read that came after. And then Quantum Healing was another one, which was a cool read. It's just like, you know, what role does the mind actually have in your healing and how far can we take that? So that's kind of been a big piece. And I think like the audio resonance therapy is, I think it helps you get in that state. And one of the coolest things is you think like that parasympathetic state is the ultimate goal, but they found that this effect still works without that. So you can actually be in a sympathetic state. It works on animals, and like, which is just kind of, that blew my mind. Like, it's just, you, there's this, energy connection with the frequencies that are being pushed into the atmosphere and then a universe from like the audio. And it just like connects you with that. Like, it aligns your cells and your electrons and stuff in a way that actually gets you into like a rehabilitative state physiologically, which is just, it's crazy. And it's still like new research, and it sounds kind of woo-woo-y probably because I'm explaining it. But it's helped me a lot, just kind of a mental state. And it's just like, there's no really no downside either, right? It's just like calming music. And it's just like, conceptually, of course, that's going to probably have a net positive effect, even if it's not rooted in science. And the science is still pretty new, but it's a really cool area that I'm definitely excited about.
Yeah, I find it fascinating. And you know, I've been grounding, and I have a grounding mattress. And I think, you know, I've been reading, listening to Ben Greenfield and Peter Attia and those guys on a lot of the research on that. But I just think of it as like everything's a vibration. It's a frequency. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, we know that sound has got a vibration to it, and that vibration, and everything vibrates, right? Like all of our cells, every atom in our bodies vibrating at a frequency. I totally get what you're saying. And it's almost like you have to read, you know, Biology of Belief to really actually start to believe some of the stuff. But it's there, even if we don't, you know.
And that is a cool read, I think, because it starts with traditional science. Like the first couple chapters were just like, here's a history of microbiology. And
yeah, that was hard to get through because I wasn't very good at science.
Yeah. Fair enough. For me, it was that like caught my attention, because like that's like, I did a few courses in that in undergrad. I was like, oh yeah, cool. This is like, sounds wooey, but they're starting with science. And then as they get into the kind of the emotional piece, it's like, it kind of links together, and it's still like connecting the dots is still, we're not quite there yet, right? Quantum physics, there's still so many question marks with that, but it's a really cool field. And I think it's going to change the game for sure. When we look at health kind of from a big picture, because that is the missing piece. Mm-hmm. I think for a lot of people, you can do all the things, you can get into meditation and working out and gratitude and all that stuff. But there's like a physical piece that's on a layer that we still don't really understand, which is kind of wild.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, the other piece for me, I think, was focusing more on zone two. And you hear Peter Attia talk about it a lot as well. I think for years, I didn't spend a lot of time in that domain. It was like workouts are super, super intense, and try to get, you know, HIIT training, get more bang for your buck when that kind of research came out. But there's something to be said for like low level cardio, like aerobic cardio, purely aerobic stimulus where there's low impact. It's good for recovery. It's good. And it's again, that kind of links back to that centenarian blue zone kind of research, right? Where those cultures are, it's built into what they do. And that's part of the reason probably they live longer. So there's that. And I think the other major change for me was supplementation. I went completely away from supplements for years, and because, like, you know, theoretically, it's better to get it from natural sources. Mm-hmm. But then you start to realize how deficient some of the, even the good foods are and some of the stuff that we need. So I've got a long list there, and specifically with NAD, because I had the pleasure of having three kind of PhD specialists in the area of NAD, and they all had slightly different takes on it. My most recent one with Joe Bauer, he's looking at mapping out how the mitochondria creates NAD and then sort of the factors that are involved with that. And he doesn't supplement with it at all, which is, and he's the only one that doesn't. And it's in the other end of the spectrum, you got Nicola Conlon, who owns the Cheeto, and like their whole mission is let's like push out these supplements to help bump up, you know, our kind of levels of NAD to help us function layer better, because it's obviously key, and it definitely does decline with age. And there's other like pieces. We have to like exercise to keep it up. We have to like sleep well, and our mental health, all that stuff has to be nailed down and dialed in to keep it up. But so I'm still like kind of early in the process, but I know when I'm taking it regularly that I feel better. And I think that's as much as you can ever expect with supplements. So
Yeah, that's the whole concept of biohacking, right? It's just really paying attention to how things make you feel. And that's why, you know, another key thing just to touch on quickly is the idea of diet. Like, you know, everybody has their own diet. There's no diet for everybody.
Yeah,
everybody's unique. Your microbiome's like a fingerprint. There's, you know, it's different in everybody's body.
And, it's different and it's evolving even within the individual, right? Because it changes like with how well your mental health is and how well you're sleeping and what you're doing physically and all the different stimuli, the environment, you know, the season, the temperature, all that stuff impacts how your body responds to nutrition too. And that's like, that's one of the things that I really appreciated with the Precision Level 1 course that I did this year, which is like, I don't know, I'm not huge into courses at this point in my life because I feel like a lot of times it is just a cash grab, but that it was incredible course. And it really caught me that it is like a stepwise process. And it's, I think that's really the only way you can lead people through improving nutrition is like start with where they're at, right? Even if it's an absolute dumpster fire, that's their baseline. You can't take them to perfect from a dumpster fire. You have to like start putting out that fire first and like one kind of flame at a time and then work them towards that next thing. I think like, and that's kind of what makes it exciting too, because it's like, you can kind of experiment a little bit more, right? If you look at it one variable at a time, you just cut out carrots for a week and see what your body does, right?
Yeah.
Or you cut out dairy or like gluten or something more consistent or something that maybe you suspected always have an issue, and you either bump it up or take it down and just see how your variables improve, your sleep, your nausea, your energy, your hunger, all that stuff. And so it's pretty cool because it allows you as a coach to like be a bit more of a mad scientist, right? You're using a bit of research, theoretically what should happen. Okay, let's just try it. See if it works for this individual. So yeah, I absolutely agree. It's not a definitive solution. And it's cool to see that the narrative around it is starting to match up with that more. It used to be like, we must do paleo or we must do keto or we must, you know, but it's a lot more in flux right now. And I think it's a smarter way to go. And it's like, I feel like fitness is starting to get collectively smarter around it.
Yeah, man. And we've talked a lot about, or have learned a lot about, you know, intermittent fasting and the idea of, you know, why that's important. And it's really just education, right? And, and I think one of the things that you realize going even down the mindset path that I've been going down, the life coaching stuff, is that nobody's really going to do it for you, right? Like unless you take unless you have the inclination to go see a naturopath or to go, you know, book that appointment with a doctor of some sort that to help you with your problems. Like nobody's going to fix it for you.
Yeah.
So that awareness and that understanding, like podcasts like this and books, like there's infinite amount of resources out there now, and you really do have to take it upon yourself to care and to care about your body and to be interested and intrigued. You don't have to be a, you know, brain surgeon to understand a lot of the concepts.
Yeah.
And there's definitely people, it's mostly just trying to find the right people to help you deal with those problems. So
yeah, for sure.
It's good to see that stuff kind of evolving. And this is, you know, you were talking about it before, but, you know, the idea of philosophy, I've been going down a philosophy rabbit hole and just like, you know, this podcast called Philosophize This, and for no other reason than to just expand your wisdom, your mindset, and in the sense that like
new way of thinking. That's like, well, that's how you create neuroplasticity. It's really simple, but your brain kind of works like a muscle. You got to stimulate it in new ways to keep it adapting and keep it sharp. And I think that's huge when we talk about like cognitive decline, because at some point when we get older, that's going to be the thing, right? And when we figure out how to better cardiovascular health and treatments along that, like the mind's a tough thing to treat. So you kind of have to, be prophylactic when you're talking about your mental health.
Yeah. Yeah. And the whole concept that, you know, if you look back 2000 years, you'd think the guys are crazy 2000 years ago, but if you fast forward 2000 years from now, I guarantee you they think we're crazy for knowing the things that we know right now and thinking the way that we think, because we're just evolving, and you know, humans aren't perfect. There's no such thing. And it's not about being perfect or ever being perfect. It's actually just about making the best decisions with what we know, right? As a human, as you yourself, You know, if you listen to the podcast like this and something sticks out and you're like, oh, you know what? I do clear out the room and yeah. I do pass a lot of gas, and you decide to be like, yeah, well, whatever. Yeah. Then that's up to you. Right. And, but it's up to us to realize, like, once we know something, you know, nobody's going to fix it for us. Nobody's going to hold our hand. It's, you know, we can get help. But it's up to us ultimately to want to evolve and understand that things aren't fixed and, you know,
and I think you nailed it. Like, there is no perfect, but you have to like understand what your definition of your perfect is. Right. And that's like, and that's like something that's dynamic too, because that's not going to be the same forever. Your version of whatever perfect is when you're an 18-year-old meathead going to the gym trying to get bigger biceps is a little different than when you're in your 40s thinking about retirement and, you know, your kids and that kind of stuff. But having that vision, that foresight is what's going to keep you growing towards the next steps, which I think is really key.
Yeah.
And on that note, I know you've shifted into like a lot of mindset pieces, and you've read a lot of cool resources on that. Talk me through some of the memorable books you've read on that topic this year.
Oh boy. Yeah. This is a rabbit hole. So stop me if I go off deep on it, but
yeah.
Yeah. So before I get into books, you know, talking about like this perfect or this, you know, a lot of people that I deal with, I coach a lot of CEOs, executives. And then just I coach a lot of vast variety of people. And the commonality is how we measure ourselves. Mm-hmm. So that leads me to the first book of The Gap and the Gain. And it also leads me into my definition of success.
Yeah.
So a lot, you know, and I think that this is just a super important concept. And this is always what I lead with in conversations with people when they ask me about life coaching or, again, whatever you want to call it. I don't even call it life coaching. I just call it being a good human being and trying to help people. The concept called The Gap and the Gain. So the idea is that, you know, most of us think that, you know, if I was to say to myself, okay, where do I think I should have been by now? Right. Like, oh, I should have been a millionaire by now. I thought I'd be more successful by now. I thought I'd have this by now. We're continuously measuring ourselves against something that's really out of our control. Mm-hmm. Right. We have no idea what's going to happen tomorrow. Zero idea. We have, you know, especially with wars going on and COVID, I think that taught a lot of people that there's really no security in jobs. There's really no security in this thing called money. That doesn't 100%. Bring us security.
Yeah.
But if we flip the measuring stick there and we start to measure backwards and we look at what we've gained.
Yeah.
The idea is that, like, you know, at one point you didn't have a car and you thought, oh, I can't wait to have a car. I'm going to be, you know, it's going to be amazing. I'd be successful and have a car. I can do whatever I want. Then you have a car, and, you know, most people probably think like a car is, yeah, well, everybody has a car. It's like, well, yeah, but at one point you didn't.
Yeah.
And we forget to take the time to actually realize like how much we've gained, how much we've progressed. And that's the measurement, because if we're progressing, and this comes back to my definition of success, if I'm 1% better today than I was yesterday, that's really all I can hope for or ask for.
Yeah.
Because the outcome is the outcome. It's not, I can influence it, but I can't control it.
Yeah. The point in space is less important than the direction it's going. Mm-hmm. And I think that's kind of what I get from that concept, like gratitude and like understanding your progress over perfection and all those pieces. So I love that.
Yeah. Man. And then once you do that and you start to realize all the things that you progressed and gained, now you have this optimistic, you have this attitude of, oh, you know, I have done things. I have been successful. I can do this. And now you go attack your next problem.
Yeah.
That's the mindset behind it. And then a bunch of other books that really have helped me. Honestly, the ones that stick out are like The Four Agreements is a powerful book. The Seven Decisions was an amazing book for me.
Yeah.
You know, you and I know you've read Ryan Holiday's stuff, but his newer book, Courage is Calling. Like, if you read that book, if you're scared of doing something, if you're letting fear hold you, keep you stagnant in your life, by the end of that book, you'll realize if you don't go out and do that thing that you've been scared of doing, I'd be very surprised, because it'll scare you into doing the things that you're scared of doing, for lack of a better word, because nobody wants to get to the end of their life and look back and be like, oh, I regret not trying.
Yeah, for sure. So I love that. Awesome. And then, I didn't know you mentioned like Boundless is another piece, and that was a good broad scope of everything too. And kind of like the health longevity piece. And, so I love that. And it's like, you know, I don't think there's any book that I read where it's like 100% agreement, but that's like most of his research is pretty sound and pretty in alignment with most of what Ben puts out there too. Awesome. Kyle, well, this has been a sweet chat. I appreciate catching up, man. We'll have to do this again, maybe, down the road review year two and see where you're at.
Yeah. And if I can encourage anybody, you know, we talked about, just to finish this off, if you don't mind, it's just the idea of community. And that's where I'm dedicating my life, is just building a community where it's just, you know, there's no judgment. We're just all working on our crap together. We have this mission of becoming better versions of ourselves.
Yeah.
We're not tugboating each other and pushing and pulling and telling each other what to do. And we call that the Grow to Gold community. It's on Facebook, awesome. Instagram. And it's just a space, you know, we do so much free stuff, weekly calls and stuff. Come learn about some of the stuff and share your perspective, ask questions. Again, you know, you're the only one that can be really in your driver's seat. Nobody else is going to drive the car for you. Most people live in the passenger seat.
Yeah.
So we help guide people to taking control of their own car, or their own ship, or whatever the analogy is. But that's what we're all about. So I appreciate having me on, Craig, and look forward to the next time we get to rant and have this chat.
And I've been on some of those calls, and it's great things you guys are doing with Grow to Gold. So we'll link to that in the show notes, and we'll go from there.
Yeah, awesome. Appreciate it.
Thanks for tuning into this episode, guys, and we'll see you next time on Healthspan Academy. Hey, what's up, guys? Thanks for tuning in today. I hope you enjoyed the episode. Thank you so much for supporting this channel. This has been a fun project. We are growing in viewership every single week, and we obviously couldn't do that without you. So thank you for continuing to tune in. I really hope you're getting value out of the programming and the content. Just wanted to give you a heads up. I've been working on a book on health and longevity the last couple of years, been collaborating with my colleague, Dr. Dan Vitale, who's an expert in the field as well. And we've basically just kind of summarized the literature, some of the techniques that we found really useful in the world of biohacking, what our exercise regimen looks like, what's, you know, cardio type stuff is going to help us live longer and healthier, mobility work, nutrition. We've covered the whole spectrum, everything that you can basically be in control of in your health and fitness kind of moving forward to help you live as healthily as possible for as long as possible. And it's available free for download. So if you click on the YouTube banner, you'll see a link to download the blueprint. It's also on our Instagram profile. Or on the website, you can click on fivepillarmethod.com/optimize to get your free copy of the book. And I hope you enjoy it. Hope you're keeping well. Thanks again for tuning in, and we'll see you next time.